14, last week we were looking at the weaker brethren and how we as stronger brethren, as the scripture says, are to treat those who are weaker. And today we're looking at the stronger brethren, the need of stronger brethren. I hope you're strong in the Lord. If not, we need to be growing every day in the Lord so that we get stronger. And this morning, as we finish up chapter 14, we're going to look at four needs of the stronger brethren. And the first is to have clean practices in our lives, and then to have correct priorities, then to have constructive pursuits, and then to have a conscience that is perfected before the Lord. So let's pray and we'll look at the rest of this chapter. Father, help us that we might be strong believers. Lord, that we might not just be babes in Christ. Lord, we know that it takes time for maturity, but help us to do those things that we need to do, that the scripture tells us to do, that we might grow in the Lord, that we might be strong in the Lord, that we might be able to help those who are weak in the Lord. And so, Father, we pray that you would speak to us this morning through your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we look at, first of all, having clean practices, the first thing we see in verse 13 is to avoid causes of stumbling there. Notice it says, let us therefore not judge one another anymore, but judge this rather. And so the topic of judging, you know, is an interesting topic, and we hear people talk about judging, don't judge one another. And here he talks about judging, and we're going to see that word several times as we go through this chapter. When we get to the end of it, I'll actually even show you a couple of Greek words that are very similar that are used in this passage. And the word is the Greek word krino, and we get our English word crisis from that. And the word judge has to do with separating something or distinguishing it. Think about a judge in a courtroom. Before he's going to make his sentence, before he makes his judgment, he takes all of the facts, he takes the evidence, he takes the testimonies, and he's going to make a decision, a judgment. And so the Bible is clear that we're to be doing that. We are to judge righteous judgment, as Jesus tells us to do there. We don't judge based upon our own opinions or even traditions, but we judge according to the scriptures here. And so he says to us, judge rather this. So he's telling us something that we ought to judge. And the thing that we're to judge in verse 13 is that whether or not we are putting a stumbling block in the way of someone else. Stumbling, just by the word itself, implies accidental, tripping up. And so we need to be careful in our lives. If we're going to be strong in the Lord, one of the things we're going to do is not be a cause that someone else stumbles. And so there may be some Christian liberties that we have, some things that we can do that are not against the scripture. But weaker brethren may not quite understand that. And so if we partake in those things that we have liberty to do, it might cause someone who is weaker to fall. So even though there may not be anything wrong with certain practices, if we're concerned about the weaker brother, we're not going to participate in those things because we don't want someone else to stumble, or the next word is to have an occasion to fall. The stumbling block has to do more with the act of falling. This word, occasion to fall, has more to do with the obstacle that causes someone to fall. This is an interesting word because the root of this word has to do with the trigger of a trap that is put there. And whenever that trigger is hit, it causes the trap to be set, and then the prey, the bird or whatever, is entrapped in that. And so he says we need to be careful that the things that we do in our lives that may not be part of the thou shalt nots of the commandments, it could set a trap for someone else whose conscience may be against doing that. And so Paul is warning us here, there are some things that are okay for us to do, but just because they're okay and permissible with the scriptures, it doesn't mean we have to do them. We also have the liberty in Christ not to do some things as well. And so that's what he's talking about here. So the strong that we're seeing this morning, they have more knowledge than the weak. But if we use knowledge without love, what does 1 Corinthians 13 say? Well, it says, you know, if we can perform miracles, if we can do all these things and have the faith to move mountains, and we don't have love, then we're nothing. So we may have the permission from our conscience and even from the Holy Spirit speaking to us to be able to do some things. But if we do them and it becomes a stumbling block or a trap or a trigger that calls someone else to be entrapped, then we're not being strong at all. We certainly are not exercising our faith out of Christian love, rather than having an attitude, well, there's nothing wrong with this. He just has to learn to live with it and deal with it. I'm going to do it because there's nothing wrong with it. Now, what kind of attitude is that? That's not one of love for the Christian brother, is it? And so he tells it that there's nothing unclean of itself there in verse 14. But to him that esteemeth anything, to him it is unclean there. And so we know that, let's use pork as an example, because I love pork, you know, just about any way, you know. And so there's nothing wrong with eating pork. Now, of course, if you eat too much of it over and over and over again, there may cause some problems there. But the Bible teaches us that anything is okay for us to eat if we give thanks to it. But even with that, there's some things. I went by a KFC one day and I saw the sign that says, we have livers and gizzards. And I said, you can keep them. I'm not eating any of that, you know. And it's not a scriptural basis for that, but I just don't care to. If you do, that's fine. There's nothing unclean. We can't eat those things there. But also, he goes on to say that we also need to avoid causes of sorrow in verse 15. If thy brother be grieved with thy meat. And so if we cause someone to be inflicted with sorrow or grief, notice he goes on to say in verse 15, you're now not walking charitably. And so even though we may have the freedom to do such a thing, let's use, I've never read a Harry Potter book before, but I've talked to different Christians, and I've talked to Christians that say there's no way possible we'd ever have one of those books in my house. And I've heard other Christians say, you know, we can read that and we can be discerning, you know, and we don't see that we need to just eliminate it altogether there. And so someone may be able to read that and not be offended or hurt by it, but another Christian may say, I don't want any part of that. And so, and that's okay. But what he's saying here is, if you don't want to read Harry Potter, then don't play the Holy Spirit and tell everybody else they can't unless they are under your authority. If they're your children or if they're your employees, you know, we have the right to set priorities and standards for our own individual lives and also for those that are under our authority there. But then the next thing he tells us not to do in verse 15, he says, destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. And so a person feels that he has the liberty and the freedom to eat meat. Maybe meat that was sacrificed to idols was the context in Corinthians there. And so you pray for it and thank God for it, and it's okay to eat it. But it says another person may be destroyed. And so not just to keep my alliteration, but the word shredding does do that. That's what this word means. This word destroy here, it has a prefix on it that means to thoroughly, to entirely destroy something. Now, we do that with shredders in our office, don't we? Or at home. We have some personal information, and we don't want it to get out, so we shred it. We have destroyed the evidence, like sometimes, you know, politicians like to try to do as well. You know, they want to get rid of all the evidence. Well, that's what this word means. It's possible for us as strong Christians that have some liberty to do certain things, if we do it, we might wreck, we might destroy a younger, weaker believer's faith. And so Paul is saying, it is not a matter of whether this thing is right or not. That's not the purpose of the whole chapter. The purpose is your brother in Christ. Are you doing something to build up your brother? Or are you doing something to shred or tear down your brother there? And so now, not only do we need to have clean practices, we need to have correct priorities. And they're very simply given here in verses 17. Verse 16 says, let not then your good be evil spoken of. So there may be some things that are okay for you to do. They're good. There's nothing wrong with them. But they can be evil spoken of. And so what are our priorities as a believer? Well, there are three in verse 17. First of all is righteousness there. That is conforming to what God tells us to do. Whatever God says in His Scripture is right. There are some things that we were talking about earlier, or Harry Potter and some other things that are not clear commands in Scripture. And we can draw some principles from Scripture, but there are some things in the Scripture that are clearly right and clearly wrong. And we know those things. And so that is righteousness. And so whenever we're deciding on things that are righteous, we shouldn't be concerned about the consequences. It doesn't matter what people are going to say or what's going to happen as a result. If it's the right thing to do, we want to do it. And that's what strong believers do. They'll make a decision, I'm going to do what's right. I don't care if I'm the only one doing it. I don't care if I lose my job for doing it. I'm going to do what's right. And that's what he says is our priority there. Now, if you lose your job because of it, you're a strong Christian. If you're willing to say, I'm going to do this because it's right, I might lose my job, but I'm going to trust God. I believe that this is what he wants me to do. And that's what strong Christians do, don't we? We trust God. He meets our needs. The second priority is peace in verse 17. But righteousness and peace. Don't let what other people do or don't do rob you of your peace. So often people get their eyes so focused on other people and what they allow and what they don't allow, it just messes up their whole life and robs them of peace. The Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. The Bible says, as much as possible, live at peace with all men. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. And so God wants us to live lives that are peaceable. But notice what comes before peace, doing what's right. And the order is important because we're going to do what's right even if it doesn't bring about peace. Because that is number one. Living a righteous life before God, and then as much as possible, living at peace. And then the third thing in verse 17 is joy. Joy in the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost. And the joy of the Lord, it's tied to a relationship with God. It's not tied to, these are the things I can do as a Christian. These are the things I can't do. These are places I can go, and these are places I can't go, and these are things I can wear, and these are things I can't wear. You know, and people have those lists, and they're okay in their proper place. But we don't get our joy from doing or not doing a list of things. Our joy comes from the Lord, a relationship with Him. We see this in the Old Testament, too, Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. So we don't receive the joy and the glory from all of these things, but the next verse says, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understands and knoweth me. There's the relationship, that I am the Lord, that exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight. God says He delights in righteousness. God delights in judgment. Not judgment based upon my own opinion, but judgment where I rightly divide the word of truth, I separate out all the facts of what God has to say, and I make a judgment, I make a decision based on what God has said. God loves judgment. And He also loves loving kindness. And so when I'm making those judgments, how am I responding to my brother and sister in the Lord? And so we want to do what's right. We want to try to obtain peace. And we want to have the joy the Lord has for us. Those three things are all mentioned in Paul's letter to the Romans earlier in this book there, as you see there in chapter 5. It says, therefore, being justified, that's righteousness, We have peace. There's a second thing, peace with God, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace wherein we stand and rejoice. And so there are those three things, righteousness, peace, and joy. Those are our priorities. Those are the things that we need to put high on our list. Not all the man-made rules and regulations, but I want to do what's right. I want to have peace with God and with my fellow man, and the joy that comes from it. Well, what should we pursue? Number three, have constructive pursuits. Verse 19, he says, follow after. That's the pursuing part. What do we follow after? First of all, we follow after grace there. Many times in the Bible, it says grace and peace be to you from the Lord. And there is no peace of God without the grace of God. And when we think about God's grace and the peace that he gives, as we read it in verse 19, it says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. And so the grace of God brings peace. We need to have grace in our lives toward others as well, so that we can have peace with them. When the Bible talks about peace, there are at least three different areas of peace. Sometimes it's the idea of harmony. When we think about peace as it relates to harmony, that's our relationship with other people. We're at peace with them. But also the Bible talks about peace in this idea of tranquility. And that is a state of mind. And that is a peace that I have within myself. But also the Bible talks about peace as being welfare and prosperity, where it talks about the way of peace, the blessedness of peace, and that has to do with our relationship to God. So when we look at this idea of the grace that brings peace, there are three relationships: that relationship to our fellow man, the relationship to myself and the peace I have with God, and then my relationship to God, that I have peace with him as well. Well, we go on and we see what else we pursue. We pursue growth so that we can be strong believers. He says in verse 19, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things whereby we may edify one another. And that's the growth process. Whenever we get saved, the Bible says it's like being born again. That's a term that's used. So when a person is born into this world as a baby, they need milk. You know, they need to be nourished, and they grow. And so it is whenever we get saved. We are a babe in Christ. We read the Word, and we study God's Word. And as we grow older in Christ, then we become stronger. Our English word, edifice, comes from this word, edify. And you think about an edifice, a construction of a building there. And he says that should be one of our pursuits. The Bible talks about spiritual gifts, and we looked at those in Romans chapter 12, and 1 Corinthians tells us that the purpose that the spiritual gift is given to every believer is to edify other believers. And so as he's talking about Christian liberties and what things may be okay to do and what things may not be okay to do, he is saying, does it build up the brother or sister in Christ? Does it edify? Verse 20. He says, for meat, destroy not the work of God. And this is not the same word for shred that we saw in verse 15. This is a totally different word that means to unloose something or to tear it down. It's not as forceful as that word shred that we saw in verse 15. And so all of us are growing. The weak are growing in knowledge. The strong are to be growing in love, because we're taking the knowledge that we have and we're using that in a loving manner to the weaker brethren. So all of us are to be growing. Verse 20 talks about the work of God. He says, for meat, or for other things that we may decide we can or can't do, he says, don't destroy the work of God. So what is the work of God? The work of God is to build his church. Jesus says that he's the head of the church. He says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So the work of God is to build, to edify this edifice called the church. And so he says, don't let the things that we do, even though there may not be anything wrong with them, not be a part of building up people in their faith. Don't be doing something that is tearing them down, because the work of God is to build up the church. And then thirdly, we see we should pursue that which is good. Verse 21. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. The word good has to do with something that's honorable, something that's profitable, something that has value and virtue to it. And so the things that we do, they need to make sure that they have value in edifying someone else. If we have liberty to do something that our conscience has not convicted us that it's wrong, and we'll get to the conscience next, and we do it, but it doesn't benefit someone else, if it tears them down, even though there's nothing wrong with it, God says we shouldn't be doing that. So it is benevolent, or good, as the word is used in verse 21, to yield to other people even when you're right. And we just don't like to do that in our fleshly nature, do we? When we're right, we like to hold on, I'm right, and he just has to deal with it. But here he says it's good to yield to other people even when you're right, because it will edify and build them up. Because it's not a matter of who's right and who's wrong. It's a matter of, does it cause someone to be stronger in the Lord, or does it hurt their faith? And that is the question Paul is dealing with. So then he finishes up with the conscience. We need to have our conscience perfected without discrimination, verse 22. He says, hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. He doesn't mean, when he says have it to yourself, keep your religion to yourself. When he talks about faith here, he means that you may be strong enough to do this. You may not see anything wrong with it, but somebody else might. And so be careful to do that to yourself, so that others don't see you do something that's okay to do and be trapped by it there. And discrimination is the idea of that word judge or condemn here. It's the same word. The word that's translated condemn and the word that's translated judge is that same word, krino, that we get our word crisis from. Because whenever we're going through a crisis, what do we need to do? We need to look at all the facts. We need to look at all the consequences. We need to make a decision of how that decision is going to affect us. And that's what he's talking about here with these liberties, that we have to make decisions there. And if we do something that may be permissible for us, it might create a crisis in somebody else's life who doesn't have that same Christian liberty there. And we also do it without doubt. This again is the same word. It's judge and condemn with a different prefix, and we'll look at that in just a minute. So the idea of judging or condemning is the idea of separating all the facts and making that decision. But here, if we have doubt, if we have separated all the facts and we have determined that something is okay to do and or not okay to do, and we go against our conscience, we have doubted there. We've separated what we say we believe from what we're actually doing. And God says we're not to do that. We need to walk in faith. But the last thing he says in verse 23, as we get to the end, is to have our conscience perfected, we're going to also walk without defilement. He says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. It's a strong word in that verse where it says he's damned there in verse, can't find it now, but I will. Verse 22, hast thou faith? Have it to thyself. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he allows. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat. That's the same word as judge or condemn. So let's look at that word as we finish up here. The word, as I mentioned, is krino. Sometimes it's translated judge. Sometimes it's translated condemn, and we get our word crisis from. So when you think about judging, it's not that you're being judge and jury. The Bible says that we are to judge righteous judgment. We're to get all the facts according to the Scripture. We're to make our decisions based upon the Word of God, not our own personal preferences there. And then the next word that's translated doubt is krino with a prefix on it. Dia means through. And so it has the idea of somebody who's evaluated it. He separated all the facts thoroughly is the idea here. And then he acts against his own conscience. That he knows that it's wrong. And it says, he that doubteth is damned if he eat. And that word is this word. It is kata, krino. And you keep seeing that word krino, which means to judge or condemn, to separate and make a judgment or a decision. And kata is a prefix that means against. And so when a person does that, he's making the judgment against himself. And sometimes he's looking at other people and he's judging what other people are doing. So that's why Paul starts at the beginning of this section. He says in verse 13, judge this rather. And so when we look at that, we're saying, the things that I am judging and deciding against, am I bringing judgment against myself because I am looking at someone else and saying, you shouldn't be doing that, but then I'm doing the same thing. We're bringing judgment against ourselves. So let's look at the conclusion before we finish up. The stronger brethren, this whole chapter, three verses, as a way of review. The strong people, strong believers, are going to do three things. They're going to live in the light of the lordship of Christ. Going all the way back to verse 6, Jesus is Lord. So when I decide if something is right or wrong for me to do personally, it's not based upon what other believers are doing or even tradition. Jesus is my Lord. And so I get with the Lord and His Word. Is this right? I want to do what's pleasing to my Lord. So I'm going to make my judgment, my decision for what I do or don't do because Jesus is Lord and I want to please Him. Secondly, the strong in the Lord are going to make their judgment, their decisions in light of the judgment seat of Christ, because we don't stand before other people. Whenever we stand to give answers for our preferences and our convictions and our way of life, one of these days, as verse 10 teaches us, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. He is the master. He's the judge. And we answer to Him. And so you don't answer to other believers in Christ. You answer to the Lord. And then lastly, strong believers live in light of the cross of Christ. He says, for meat, don't destroy a brother for whom Christ died. And it's all about the cross of Christ. So it's not about, do I have liberty to do this or not do that? But the message is the cross of Christ. And that's what Paul is trying to say, the cross of Christ, the message of the cross, which we celebrate this morning with the Lord's table. We remember the cross of Christ. And whenever I have certain practices that I decide in my life that I will do or won't do, or music or whatever the issue may be, that I'm asking God as my Lord, is this pleasing to you? Because God, one day I'm going to have to answer to you at the judgment about this decision, not to the pastor or anyone else. And I want to do what is honoring to the cross of Christ, because Christ died for our brothers and sisters in the Lord. He died for all. And so we need to make sure that as stronger brethren in the Lord, we're living in light of the cross of Christ, because we will stand before Him one day. Let's pray.